Welcome to Success Authority's Conversation Street with Leadership Authority Peter Beaumont and with Business Culture Authority Ron Lehman and me, Linda Ruland, Success Authority's founder.
When I published my first article on this whole subject, John was one of the people who said, I don't think a lot of people get what you're trying to get at, which is the market has changed. We can't hire people the way we've always been hiring them in the past. And so he's been pretty close to what I've been going on, what I've been talking about, actually, in this whole subject of the tables have changed some, greatly in the way that we hire people. So I'm going to stop for a second. Would that be true, John?
Yeah, that is true. And interestingly enough, I was doing a podcast with an HR company a couple of weeks ago, and he sprung a question on me that we hadn't prepared for, but it was about the great resignation. And I don't feel I handled the question as well, but I did make one comment, is that because of the pandemic, a lot of things have changed in the minds of people and what they value, what they are looking for. And often it's kind of obvious that it's contrasted to some of these strategies of ownership, that people are looking for more than just a job, but they want to have their life back, because they experienced what it felt like to lose part of your life during the pandemic. And I believe a lot of people are saying, hey, hold on, we need to protect that psychologically and emotionally. So I wish I had said that during the podcast, but I didn't think of it till afterwards.
Well, lucky us.
No, yes, true, because actually that's really, you're so right, in my view, as to what you said. And so what happened then is we had more discussions about generally just what you're talking about now, which is, and I love that comment actually that you just made. And so it led me to I was having a conversation with my daughter, who was being interviewed, as you know, again, John, post-university, she graduates in a few weeks and was going through interviews. And I said, have you asked future employees some questions? This should be a two-way street. And what sort of questions are you asking? And when I found out that they weren't anything like what I thought she should be asking, I suggested that she perhaps should be asking some of the questions I then put together as a list. And it started off being a short list of five or six I gave her, and then it ended up actually being 20, which I ended up publishing as an article. And it's been an interesting reaction from people who have been, there's no way I would answer any of those questions, to, wow, I hadn't thought about that, and I should be preparing, if I want to hire the right sort of people, to be able to answer those questions, because right now I can't. A huge range of differing views, which has been an interesting, And so I'll just, just to keep the comment, I mean, some of the questions I've been asking is, do you have a HIPO, a high potential employee program in place? How do you identify high performers and then groom and improve them? Do you have core values in place? And how do you measure if people are actually walking the talk? So some of this plays to what you, I'll mention another two, John, but they play to what you've just said, which, is there room for someone in this role to be heard with a point of view? And if so, how? Because a lot of people say, of course you will. Yeah. Well, how does that work? And then, apart from an immediate supervisor, do you have a mentoring program in place? Will I be helped through this if I want to stay with you for longer than 2 years? What sort of culture are you trying to build and nurture? And the follow-up question to that is, do you have measures in place to see if you're being effective? Those are very tough questions for the sort of employees of employers that I work with, and I'm sure you guys have, to answer right now. I would say to you that there's very few people who could probably answer one of those five, which is remarkable. And it makes you wonder, you know, and that's to your point, John, it kind of, that's why we're in the situation we are now a lot of the time.
But too often people don't know themselves. I mean, the notion of the examined life is in the Socratic sense, has not really been a part of American culture. We haven't been encouraged to do the deep look inside. And therefore, we live lives of reaction rather than intention. And that's reflected in every challenge we face. And business is trying to find people that can participate to their fullest. Well, that's a tough ask because people aren't prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And certainly companies aren't prepared for the answer.
And I think sometimes, as you were going through that list of questions, I thought the person that is sitting in the room doing the interviewing for the company may not have any idea what the answer is to those. and then the question is, does anyone in the company have the answer to those? Yeah. Does the leader have the answer to those? So the answer exists, but the person doing the interviewing doesn't have that answer, or it doesn't exist anywhere, that they haven't really thought about that. Because I'm sure we've all experienced and heard of the experience of the way the company's presented in the interview, and then the way the company shows up on your first day of work can be slightly to radically different.
Yeah.
Because especially right now, my sense in talking to people who are trying to find people to hire is it's become a bit of a marketing effort. They're trying to market to these people by saying, "What? Well, here's what we think they'd like. So we'll tell them that's how we are." And sometimes that's accurate and sometimes it isn't, but it's an interesting approach that's, we're going to sell them on the job.
Yeah.
To get them in. And then we can just do what we normally do. We're not going to change. We're not going to fundamentally change the way we do business. We're just going to change the way we talk about the way we do business.
So I think that's a really interesting thought. While you were going through that, it had occurred to me when I asked these questions that some people would answer it on the strength of, we'll just blue sky this and hire them in. Unfortunately, what will happen is in this day and age is those people will leave fairly quickly because they don't have any qualms that we did in our careers, I believe, when we were younger, that you stay with a company at least a reasonable length of time. They don't care now in the workforce. Most of them don't. And I'm not denigrating that for a minute. I think it has its place. But it does mean that if you try and hoodwink people, they won't sit around long to be hoodwinked any longer. Mm-hmm. So they're going to leave. But the other part of this is, as I went through those questions, just actually again now, and that was just, I think, 6 out of the 20. I think there's another piece to this article, which, and part of this conversation, which is, before you start waiting for those questions to be asked, what are you doing to make sure you can answer them? In other words, what have you got of substance? Do you have a culture? Do you have a hypo system? Do you have a deliverable on any of these questions? And if not, perhaps that is what you should be looking at to change your organization for the better, to hire people in the future that really are the ones that will make a difference to you.
And in some cases, if you don't have those things in place, was it intentional and you have a reason that you don't? Because that could be an answer too, we don't do that and here's why. Mm-hmm. But this is a conversation that I think doesn't happen very often, this depth of conversation, either before or during the interview.
Right.
I don't think that's happening very much because, you know, as I talk to organizations, they're so desperate to find people.
Yep.
That's all their energy is on that. It's not on, we should really get our ourselves squared away here before we start bringing people in. Because then later we get all these people that don't fit, and gee, we're constantly in a hiring mode. Not only because we can't find people, but because when we do, they leave.
It's the leaky barrel syndrome, right? As many coming in the top are going out the bottom. So, yeah.
And sometimes more, because you've got the long-term employees who, as John mentioned, are really starting to look at things in a little different way and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'd like answers to these questions too. This is a great list of questions that everyone, whether you're being hired or already there, should consider.
Yeah.
And probably are in some form when John mentioned, you know, is this the life I want? Am I getting what I want out of this? Some of those questions may be the ones that get at the yes or no answer.
So many years ago, 2008, 2009, something around that, I wrote, we did, the company I was working for at the time did a survey. They used to do them every 18 months or something, which came back very, very badly in terms of, you know, the what employees thought about the company, the culture. And so I was, part of my job then was chief of staff. So I worked with HR, did most of it myself, to write a people plan. We called it the people plan. It's an Australian-based company that had an HQ in Chicago. And I put this together, and the board loved it. Thought it was exactly, and it had all those things, some of those things I mentioned, by the way. You know, we put in a hypo scheme, a mentoring scheme. We started talking about core values. Now, none of this had happened. So I said, right, here's an action plan of how we actually do this. And they went, we'll get to that. I said, what do you mean you get to that? Well, we'll get to that, Peter. We'll work you through. But what we'd like you to do first is go out to Sydney and to Hong Kong and to Buenos Aires, Frankfurt, London, all our offices, Paris, and tell them about the people plan. Yeah, you know where this is going, don't you?
Marketing.
It's what you said. So I ended up doing exactly that, by the way, believing that they really would, otherwise I wouldn't have done it, to be honest, that they really would follow through and let me actually help HR run that plan and run it through. That didn't happen. And it was one of the reasons I left the company and went out on my own into consulting, because I was so disillusioned with my credibility was at, I'd been to all these places and told people, this is what we're going to do. And then they never really wanted to do it.
So, and I think there was probably another downside, which is you went out, you talked about this, you got everybody excited about it, everybody's behind it, and then nothing happens. So now you've got an entire population of people who realize, well, another empty promise.
Yeah.
They'd have been better off saying, just put that in a drawer, Peter. Great job.
Yeah. Well,
if you're not going to do it.
The other thing was, I guess, if I hadn't left, they could have always almost saddled that on me later by saying, well, you know, he promised and he was supposed to deliver, but he didn't. So we'll fire him anyway.
Yeah.
I was in a very unenviable situation. Yeah.
Did they ever say why they didn't want to do it?
Too much trouble, too much money.
Oh, so didn't great idea. Too much trouble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We could have done it within the ranks of training the managers to do it themselves. I mean, they didn't really understand. It had to come from here inside, not bring consultants in to do it and, you know, spend money. It had to be something you believed in and supported. So I haven't told that story for a very long time.
How do you see companies behaving with similar situations right now? Because we're all looking at and knowing companies who are having a hard time hiring, who are doing their version of marketing for people, for talent. Do you see any change in behavior beyond the superficial, beyond the print on paper?
I personally don't. Most of the visionaries I work with think that there are a few that believe in core values, for example, but there's a few that I've worked with which when we do what we call the QSOC in EOS, which is the quarterly state of the company, they'll actually almost avoid talking about the core values to their people because they think it's fluff. Yeah. So, but to answer your question, Linda, as a generalization, I think people are looking for quick fixes, as per what Ron said. Now, that leads me to believe that I probably made a mistake going back. That people plan should have had a, rather than say, here's what we need to do, I should have said, here's what we need to do and when. Yeah. So little victories, right? Let's start with the core values and get the culture right. Let's move to a hypo. Let's move to a mentoring program and project it out over 5 or 6 years. That's what I think a lot of companies are missing. They realize that they've got a lot to fix there, and they don't look at it as a longer term thing where if I do take these in little bites, I will solve and get better at this over 5, 6, or 7 years. They're not willing to wait because people like investors want a quick fix.
I think the other piece of that is my experience has been, first it was the pandemic, and it shifted business thinking to the urgent. It's, we got to get through this. So we're not going to, you know, visionary and long-term and working on the culture. It became survival. Whether mm-hmm. their survival was really at risk or not. I mean, that was kind of where we were. Well, now there's the hiring problem. So that's the latest urgent. And that will always be urgent. And organizations being made up of organisms, you know, humans, as John said, we're sort of in this reactive mode. And so they react to things. So you come along with a people plan that says, you know, here's what we can do. Does it address the urgent? And maybe that's part of the thing on anything that we're talking about is, how can we connect this to, and it will solve the urgent problem as well by doing this? Because that's what seems to be capturing minds and hearts right now is the urgent, which is always easier to address than, you know, fixing long-term issues. It's like, I got a leaky faucet. I'm going to work on that as opposed to renovating the kitchen.
Yep.
Which is what is really needed.
Yeah. And to your point, Ron, and John's point, it's reactive rather than, you know, we build a shaky foundation. And then when we get to the third level, we realize we'll just go with it. And let's see how many more levels we can build before the whole thing crumbles down.
Yeah. We'll just keep fixing it, you know, duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, duct tape is a product built on the quick fix.
It does
unless you're actually fixing ducts, in which case that's different. But
WD-40.
Yeah.
WD-40 plus duct tape. Boy, you can fix almost everything.
Really? I mean, you know, it's the quick fix. It's the urgent problem fixer of all things. But if nobody's, I mean, I was, you know, kind of go back to our former discussions on leadership. To me, that's the job of the most senior leader, is they should be thinking about the future,
mm-hmm.
not the present. That's what you have other layers for, is to work on that. And if they're busy doing that, then nobody's thinking about the future, and the future just happens, as opposed to being created or being, you know, more deliberate about it.
Well, and I don't want to go off down too many rabbit holes, but let's just try one. That's a whole theme, though, I think, generally nowadays, where we've got so used to having things immediately delivered to our door in less than 24 hours, pull up whatever we want to find out on the internet. We expect the same results from our leaders. We want immediate, and the leaders have become to believe they can do it. And so I think, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but it is a trend. And I think it affects things as vital as making sure that we hire and train the right people.
Well, you just raised a huge element of this whole conundrum, that being that all consulting is really about bringing behavior change to the forefront. And I know that you guys work on the cultural and the business level. I'm focusing now on the links in the chain, which is individual behavior within the aggregate behavior of any larger issue. And the point I'm going to make is that behavior change is far more difficult than the plans, the strategies, and the tactics as they are laid out. If you look at our own lives as individuals, we struggle for 70, 80, 90 years, the entire length of time on this planet, with trying to manage ourselves and change. And we all know how difficult it is. And then you put us in a relationship, and now the factors are exponential in terms of difficulty. So it seems to me that the building blocks of any change management process are at the individual level.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Conversation Street. For more information or to submit a question, email Success Authorities at inquire@successauthorities.com.